Okay, let's resume. The time is 3:30 p.m. and the next agenda item is 2009-2010 number 44, Colorado General Assembly reorganization. So let's first hear from proponents and find out if the board has questions. Mr. Straub, if you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
Yes, I'm Darcy Straub, the primary proponent of Citizen Initiative 44.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Straub? Ms. Eubanks.
Mr. Straub, I'm trying to sort of visualize what your measure does, and so I'm thinking of, you know, a map of the state of Colorado, and as I understand what your measure would do is that sort of the first layer, whether we're talking Senate or the House, the entire state would be divided up into what you call single seat districts.
Right.
Okay. And then sort of on top of those districts is another layer, and this is where I get confused because I associate at large with not having sort of a geographic boundary. It's not tied to a specific district. But if I understand your measure, there's sort of the second layer of districts that cover the entire state that you refer to as at-large districts, but it isn't necessarily just one district. It's going to be multiple number of districts on top of that. And from those districts, two or more members would be elected from within those districts. Am I understanding correctly?
You are understanding that correctly.
Okay, because usually I think of at large as it's not tied to a district, and that's where I just wanted to make sure that I understood that. I think my only other question is in regard to the timing and the provisions, the changes in Section 48 of Article 5. And sort of switching over, the timing of switching over to this new composition of the General Assembly, that it would be implemented for 2012 for both the House and the Senate. Is that correct?
Correct.
This would be in place for those elections?
Correct.
And so for those members of the Senate that are elected in 2010, is your measure terminating their terms 2 years early?
Correct, because they have a four-year term, and so in that transition, we really wouldn't want them to serve the last 2 years. And in the Legislative Council, they said, well, they may have a right to serve out that term. So essentially, I changed the language to encourage them to resign. And actually, I might go ahead and add, I'm with the new senators who are elected, half of those would actually serve a two-year term,
right,
to get
so that
staggered.
Right, so that you get the, right. I understand that part. Okay, thank you.
Just to make sure, you've repealed the numbers that are currently in statute, and so that would be up to the legislature to establish. Not seeing the actual number set up again. They can create any number as long as it complies with these proportions and structure.
Right, that is correct. I mean, the key number there is that no political party may have more than 45%,
right,
or hold more than 45%. And then after that, my idea of constitutional provisions is they should be broad, and then specifics ideally should be implemented by statute so that, you know, situations arise, you can go ahead and change them, and you avoid a situation like you have with Tabor and Amendment 23, where people really don't know what's going on.
Mr. Straub, you know, there are a number of questions that occur to me about how this would work in practice, but I think at this point, those questions, I don't need to ask them, and I'm going to work my way through that, because on the one hand, I mean, the only reason I bring it up is that we have some direction in the case law that that we need to sufficiently understand a measure in order to identify whether it has a single subject and in order to write a title. And in the case laws, the situation that arises in those cases is where the language is so difficult or complex that we can't really understand the measure. And I think overall, I think I kind of understand the measure. I'm not sure how workable it is in practice, but I'm just at this point thinking that that's not a question for the title board. I mean, they're just practical difficulties of that are posed by the measure. So I'm like I say, I don't think I'm going to ask you practical questions about how some of these things would work. But I wanted to at least mention that for the record. And maybe in violation of that in principle or not, I guess one question I have has to do with on the first page, section 45, subsection 3. I think I understand that to say that following a general election and before the start of the legislative session, less than 45% of the members shall be registered or affiliated with a political party. And so that's after the election, people have been elected, they're affiliated or not affiliated with political parties. And I'm just trying to understand the first thing I'd like to understand is, what is a political party? Is it a major political party or any political, even a minor political party?
Any political party.
Okay.
But practically speaking, it addresses the two major political parties, because they're the only ones that, to be a major political party, you'd actually have to be able to achieve a majority in the General Assembly.
So if the results of the general election were that 50% of the members were from a particular party, that would be a violation.
I didn't quite hear the question.
I'm sorry. So if after the general election, the candidates elected to the General Assembly for either house are, say, 50% from one particular party, 50% Republican, 50% Democrat, that would be a violation of subsection 3.
Correct.
And then what happens at that point? I can't remember if the measure addresses that.
No, it does not. But there are a couple of ways to get around that. Imagine you just have the Republicans and Democrats, and it's a 55-45 split where Republicans win. You could go ahead and create a system, if you wanted to, where you could say the top Democrats who lost, they actually replace Republicans who had the least winning votes, so that you could bring it to 50-50. So there are ways to prescribe by statute to bring the General Assembly into accordance into this measure. And I submitted a previous citizen initiative which gave far more details than this to provide some context, because I understand what you're saying. And you look at this and it's like, I have a lot of questions about it. And my feeling is that it would have been improper for me to actually implement specific ways to achieve that 45% in the Constitution, because I might be overlooking something, but there are ways to implement it through statute. So I left it intentionally, as a blank canvas for people to kind of fill in later. But it's not so much a political issue. In the end, both the Republicans and Democrats know they cannot gain majority control of the General Assembly, and if you know you can't win something, there's not much point in fighting over it. So, whatever specific means are actually taken to implement it, I don't think that will be too big of a problem.
Okay. Only other question that occurs to me right now is actually on the last page, the last paragraph, H. The new paragraph H, the provision that says all dates and time periods and within Section 48, shall be established by the governor to facilitate reapportionment. I think I know the answer, maybe, but can you tell me what that has to do with this measure? Why would the governor be able to override the dates that are in Section 48? What does that have to do with reorganization of the General Assembly?
Essentially, I believe I haven't read this section recently, but I believe that section dealt with reapportionment, and there are specific dates and timelines given in there. And I'm asking the governor to use the executive power to go ahead and, use Section 48 as a means for reapportionment, and for him to, go ahead and set the dates that would be appropriate to implement this measure, which may not be appropriate as given in the section.
So, to restate that, in other words, because of the changes that are in this measure, those dates may not work for 2012.
Right.
For one time only, the governor gets to fix the dates, and then for future reapportionments, then the dates are back in play.
Right.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Strahd? If not, then let's turn to the question of compliance with a single subject requirement. I don't have anyone else signed up to testify. Mr. Straub, how would you describe the single subject of the measure?
To limit the power of political parties within the state, or within Colorado state government. To limit the power of political parties within the Colorado state government.
Would that, and not to be argumentative, if that's your answer to my question, but that sounds like a purpose more than a subject. Would it be a fair statement to say the purpose is to limit the power of political parties, but the way it's done, what the measure is about, is reorganization of the General Assembly? Or
you're right. I am kind of phrasing that single subject in a sense of being an advocate of it. The Colorado Legislative Council, they said, Colorado General Assembly reorganization, and that would be, a very objective way of saying it without really telling people what the objective is. So, I think either one is okay, and there's a different twist on each one.
And when we're setting a title, we're required at the beginning to clearly express the single subject, and sort of jumping ahead here in a sense, but the staff draft describes the single subject as the alteration of the composition of the General Assembly. Is that a fair expression of a single subject in your opinion?
That's what it does.
Okay. It does seem to me that it's a single subject, but any other discussion by the board? I guess I'll go ahead and move that the board find that the measure comprises a single subject and that we proceed to set titles. Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff draft. Ms. Gomez is displaying it on the screen in the room. Mr. Straub, have you had a chance to look at the staff draft, and do you have any comments?
Yes, I have looked at it, and I do have a couple comments. Let me see. I believe I would capitalize farewell address.
Capitalize farewell address in what line?
That would be line 7.
Anything else?
Yes. Where it says requiring the first half of the single seat districts.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear very well.
There are three times where it says requiring, right? Uh-huh. And this measure isn't quite that strong because I throw in the words, use the words as may be achieved. So it's not a strict requirement where, it could actually be impossible to comply with it, to divide it up, in single seat districts where, it's 50% Democrat and 50% Republican. It may only be possible to, have 11 Republican and 9 Democrat, and so technically, it is a requirement, but it's not a strict requirement to account for the fact that it may not actually be possible to achieve that mathematically. And so, at the end of each of those clauses, you know, I think I would just say, and use the language that I used in the measure, as may be achieved.
Okay. And you're saying that's, that's one example is what begins at the end of line 8, but there's other examples?
Right, so on line 10, after it says state comma.
Uh-huh.
Right, and before the comma, I would say as may be achieved.
Okay.
And yeah. Then also, yeah, that's the correct place.
And we'll end up discussing those. I just wanted to get an opportunity to find out what changes you were interested in.
Okay. Then, let's see, on line 12, it'd be the same insertion of words at the end, right, as may be achieved. And then the first word on line 15, there's the state and comma, and as may be achieved.
We'll say that again?
As may be achieved.
Oh, okay.
And actually it should be may, as opposed to Amy. Amy would probably be pleased, but you know. Then I have a question for you. I was reading this last night, and I'm like, maybe this is an issue. When I say a political party, or actually less than 45% of the members of either house shall be affiliated with a political party, do you read that as like 40% Democrats and 40% Republicans, or 40% Republicans and Democrats? And I can make an argument based upon statutory construction and how, you know, you have to have more than 50% single-seat districts. I mean, mathematically, you know, it's like 40% Republicans and 40% Democrats. I mean, technically, perhaps if I had to do it again, I would have said any one political party. But, I mean, in terms of what's actually mathematically feasible, I mean, you only have one choice. And I was just wondering how you guys interpreted that, just reading it fresh.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I did wonder. I assumed it wasn't meant to be read that way, but a natural reading of the measure is that less than 45% shall be affiliated with a political party. I mean, that in other words, that 55% or more must be unaffiliated. That is a reading of it, but I think, you know, your statements as a proponent on the record would be given some weight if there's an ambiguity and courts are called upon to employ rules of construction.
Right, and you know, another way of looking at it is, I mean, a party, well, that would be Republican and Democratic parties, and that's actually two parties. So, I mean, I can make two arguments. I mean, I can see it kind of going either way, but mathematically speaking, I mean, it should be, you know, interpreted no more than like 45% Democrats and then 45% Republicans and then 10% unaffiliated.
Okay. So you've suggested several changes to the staff draft, and I guess I'd like to turn it over to the board for discussion. To what changes the board would like to make to the staff draft. Thanks.
In reading the staff draft, while I think it's missing one component of the measure that I think is important, which is the fact that Mr. Domenico was asking about the number of seats, the number of districts, is to be specified by law. That's never mentioned. It talks about, you know, how the the single seat versus the at-large districts and all, but it never really talks about the number of members. And so I think it's important perhaps to add a phrase to disclose the fact that the number of members elected from single seat and at-large districts be specified by law. But the other thing that struck me about the staff draft is that it seemed long and has a lot of details. And I was, and understanding that everyone may have their own opinions of what may be important or may not be important, I was thinking about perhaps, I don't know how important it is to have, to reference the requirement of the General Assembly to consider President Washington's farewell address. And in terms of the political party affiliation breakdown of the districts, basically the language that starts on the end of line 8 through down to the beginning of line 15, I was wondering whether, instead of having all those details, whether or not some phrases could be added to the next phrase on line 15. It already is specifying the geographical composition of General Assembly districts, whether we could say specifying the political and geographical composition of General Assembly districts, and not have so much. I was just thinking of trying to make the title shorter, a little bit more concise. I just don't know if having the exact breakdown for the political party requirements and how the districts are formulated is that important, or that people would even really understand it in terms of from the perspective of voters. And so I just wanted to throw those ideas out there.
I do agree with your first point that it seems like the, you know, eliminating the number, I'm not sure how you would describe it, but it, you know, requiring that the number would be specified by law, it makes that lengthens the title.
Right, but then maybe the trade-off.
You're offering a trade-off.
But we can write it as long as we want, but I don't know that necessarily serves the voters the best.
Can I just ask one question that doesn't directly deal with any of this? As I read this, and I think it's accurately reflected in the title, it would be permissible to have all the seats be single seat districts, right? 100%.
No, I don't think so. Well, as you're reading it in the title.
Well, if I read both the measure and the title, they say at least half have to be single seat, and no more than half can be at large. But what if the General Assembly says, all right, well, these at large things are a pain or whatever, we don't want to deal with them. So we have zero. That's not more than half. And that means 100% is single seat. So that complies with, that's more than half. Or does there have to be at least one, in your view, does the rest of it kind of imply that there's got to be at least one at what you call an at-large district?
Right, and you're actually right. I mean, you could actually do all single seats and then forget that at-large districts, but I mean, the political motive for doing that would kind of be struck out by require that 45% requirement.
So, but that's kind of a just a political limit, not the measure right. Itself doesn't require there to be
that's
any.
Right. And okay. So it's, and I'm actually comfortable with that in the sense okay. That you know, it's not really how I think it should be implemented, but it may be finding, without you really knowing much about
right.
you know, these at-large districts or at-large candidates, you know, who's to say? I mean, my idea for these at-large district candidates is you have a committee, and you actually go out and just find, you know, essentially citizen legislators, people who have really no political aspirations, and, you know, how many people are willing to do that? You know, some people might be, others not, and so I'm just that pool of people out there. I cannot sit here and state with absolute certainty, oh, we would be able to fill this many seats. And so, I mean, in a way, the way I have it written, I mean, it's somewhat good that I don't actually have a requirement, a minimum requirement for the at-large district. But, and you're correct, that reading is accurate.
Okay, so the reason I asked was if that means we could eliminate a little bit of the language at the very beginning somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to actually making this more concise, and I'm having looked at this a little bit more, after the word assembly in line 2, I'm wondering about inserting the phrase to prevent any one political party from gaining majority control of the General Assembly. And I could even throw in to eliminate two-party partisan politics, because I mean, that's really the objective. Perhaps that's too much of a advocacy statement, but you know, that's...
I agree. I mean, a policy argument, it sounds a little bit like a policy argument in favor of the...
Okay.
Or a purpose or an objective or an effect as opposed to what the measure does.
Right.
We want to be neutral, you're right.
Right, okay. Yeah, I have no objection if you want to take out all that requiring stuff, because I mean, as somebody who is reading this, I mean, it's better to be concise here than to just blow people away. It's like, I mean, you read it and you thought about it because it's your job, and you know, it's like, do I have the single seat at large district stuff correct? You know, it probably serves to confuse the issue, and you know, it's really kind of my job, this reaches the ballot, to educate people on, you know, the ultimate objective of this. And, you know, it's like, you know, turning on your lights. Most people only care about the lights that are turned on. They don't care about how it actually works. And, you know, I think most people, you know, people are losing faith in government. And what they kind of care about is the elimination of partisan politics. And that is the message. I don't think they're too concerned about the nuts and bolts of it, and with all those, you know, sentences, you know, from line 8 down to line 15, and I don't think it really serves to educate. I think it really just confuses, really doesn't add much in my book.
I'm willing to get rid of most of that. I'm not sure I'm quite willing to go as far as Ms. Eubank's suggestion to just replace it with the words political and sticking it in with geographical composition, just because, as Mr. Straub said, that is kind of the main point of this, is to control the political composition of districts. And frankly, that's the most kind of radical part of this. The biggest, the most important, the most interesting thing it does is try to restructure the General Assembly kind of through political, by looking at political composition. To me, it needs to be highlighted a little bit more than just lumping it in with geographical composition, which is kind of a very typical, you might think it's sort of a fairly straightforward redistricting measure if you don't highlight that a little bit. But I think I agree that all the details could be eliminated, but if you do that, I'm not quite sure the best way to
highlight the what it does do.
Yeah, I guess in a broad sense, I mean, there's substantive issues and then there are procedural issues. And I think the substantive issues, I mean, kind of stayed on up one through lines 8, and then everything after that was kind of process. You know, I mean, having the senators resign in 2012, it's a process. And I'm not certain, you know, does the average voter really care about that? Yeah, I guess it's up to your discretion, because you're the experts on this. But if we look at it, lines 1 through 8, that's substantive. And then the rest of it seems to be really kind of somewhat procedural to achieve the objective.
And I, to modify my earlier remarks, I'm not necessarily opposed to some way of summarizing all of this detail in a way that objectively identifies the major effect. I'm not sure what that is, but I'm just saying if the measure prevents a party controlling the General Assembly. There may be a way of saying that objectively, as long as we know that that's the effect of all of the detail. So I just didn't mean to imply we could not summarize some of these things, but not quite sure how to do it.
Right, I understand your job is to be objective and present this objectively. I understand that my job is to actually try to sell this later on. And I understand that. That's why I actually put in that part about George Washington, because when the Blue Book comes around, people might wonder, well, what's this all about? But, you know, it's kind of a good advocacy statement to put in there. And actually, in terms of citizen initiatives and legislative intent, you know, that kind of disappears. And you put in a statement like that, and it provides some intent.
Thanks.
If you want, in terms of the first issue I raised about needing a phrase recognizing that the number of members elected is going to be specified by law, I'm willing to take a stab at that. I think it would go on line 5 after districts, comma. It would be a new phrase requiring. The number of members elected from single hyphen seat and at hyphen large districts be specified by law. Comma. I guess maybe it needs to be to be specified and then specified by law.
Mr. Straub, any comment about that?
Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
I am fine with that. And actually, is it okay if we backtrack here a second?
Go ahead.
And to be fair, if I leave it that wording like that and somebody reads it, going back to this 45% business with a political party, some people might be out there who say, oh man, you mean that both Republicans and Democrats can hold no more than 45%? Of the seats, there are some people who would probably go for that in a big way. So I'm actually, to be more correct here, perhaps we should say be affiliated with any one political party. And for one, it's clear, and you know, most voters aren't going to sit down and apply rules of statutory construction and that type of deal, and so. And I think I would actually suggest, even though it's not, you know, the language verbatim from the measure in terms of being fair and objective to the voters, I think that might not be such a bad change.
Well, I'm reluctant to do that, speaking for myself.
Because,
okay. I mean, what we haven't, I think you were referring to line 7.
Right.
I think that's faithful to the language of the measure. I mean, what I intended to say earlier is, I think, to the extent that there may be a reading that you did not intend, you've stated on the record what you intend,
mm-hmm.
and I'm reluctant for the board to adopt that reading.
Okay.
I'd rather leave that up to a court, personally.
Okay. Although, I mean, the court is supposed to interpret the statute, but here we're a little bit concerned about how the voters might interpret the measure, and so in terms of helping the voter, I think that language would help the voter interpret the measure.
But it means the board would agree with your interpretation in order and would tell the voter that's what it
okay.
means. And I mean, the other members of the board may disagree, but I'm just reluctant to interpret. I'd rather leave it up to the court, where
okay.
it may be subject to different interpretations.
Okay.
Maybe we could come back to that. I think Ms. Eubanks suggested some language in lines 5 and 6. And I think, Mr. Straub, I think you're okay with that additional language.
Yes, I am.
And I'm okay with it. And
I would move that change.
I'll second that. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Any other, Ms. Eubanks?
I would move that we strike the phrase referencing President Washington's farewell address that starts on line 7 with requiring and goes through the end of line 9. I just don't know that that's a major
component.
The General Assembly will have that requirement. I just don't know how important that is for the voters. All the way to the end of line 9.
And was that a motion?
Yes.
I'll second that motion. And I agree with Ms. Eubanks. I mean, I know that's an important philosophical underpinnings for the measure, but
okay.
It doesn't really, I don't know that it's a central feature of proposal, of the substantive requirements of the proposal.
Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Thanks.
And then just based on some of the discussion, I don't think at this point I'll offer to consolidate that next group of phrases regarding the political party requirements in formulating the district. So right now I'll just leave it as is.
Mr. Straub's suggestions about adding as may be achieved, I think that makes sense to me. I mean, grammatically it's a little awkward, but it's the way it is in the measure, I think, and I do think it is the way it is in the measure, and it's not an absolute requirement. It's as much as may be achieved, I think. So I'd support Mr. Straub's suggestions or some variation of that.
You dropped the idea of eliminating all that?
Not necessarily.
Okay. My only suggestion, if we were to drop that, would be something along the lines of requiring districts to be restructured based on the political or partisan composition of the voters. The only thing I've been able to come up with that is broad enough to cover all that, but maybe helpful enough to suggest that I think it's interesting that you got these requirements about based on the political composition of the voters. Here's what it does. I don't love it either way, frankly. I can't think of anything better.
Well, I mean, it falls upon us to sort of balance two competing objectives. And one, we are required to be brief. An awful lot of detail here. And I'd sure prefer to be briefer. But we're also required to fairly explain, you know, measure. I don't know. I mean, I'm actually sort of leaning your way, Mr. Domenico. Detail. It's pretty detailed. And it's pretty detailed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll go either way. As it is, it's helpful because, you know, frankly, current redistricting takes into account, I'm not letting any secret out of the bag, the political composition of the voters in the districts. And so I guess with my proposed language, someone could think that you're basically just saying that that's okay, or that you're going to keep doing it the way you already do it, whereas this really is quite different in how it structures the setup of districts. So maybe it's important to highlight what it does. The only way to do that is to have all that in there.
Is there a way to beef up your suggestion that kind of signals this is not that it imposes detailed new requirements concerning the political composition of districts? Signals this is new and detailed. But refer the reader to me.
I know.
You know, if we don't have a good alternative, I'm okay.
I can't come up with anything better than what I did, and I don't know that it's better than the draft. If we want something else to think about for a while, I have a suggestion that might shorten up the first few lines. You want to just resolve this part, I'm happy to wait.
Well, until somebody offers. I mean, I agree with that. You know, I think you have an idea that's moving in the right direction, but I... putting that aside for now and moving on.
Okay, well, if we're going to do that, my suggestion would be to try to combine the addition, Ms. Eubanks' addition, and the two or three lines that come before it. And what I had in mind was it could say, start right after in connection therewith, it would say requiring the number of members elected to each house be specified law, but requiring that at least half
the members of each house be elected from single seat districts and no more than half from at-large districts. That saves a little bit of minds, a little bit of it, and is a little bit less like you're kind of saying the same thing partly over again. All right, what did I say? Requiring that the number of members of each house be specified by law. But requiring, or specifying, if we don't want to say requiring again, that and then it would continue that at least half the members of each house, and I think probably would move of the General Assembly up to the new line 3 to the first reference to each house. Then it would go on, be elected from single seat districts, and no more than half be elected from at large districts. And you could delete those references to the General Assembly and delete the addition that's now on 6 and 7. And I think we need to leave it in there, although my original question about whether there have to be at-large districts was aimed at whether we need to have that second part in there. In the sense that I think technically you could stop it after the first time you say at least half the members of each house be elected from single seat districts, implies that no more than half can be from anything else. But I do think it probably needs to stay in there, since the structure of at-large districts is important and comes up later. So although I guess you could do it the other way and get rid of the reference to single seat districts and requiring that no more than half the members be elected from at large districts. But I think it's probably better the way it is than that.
Okay to me. Why do you use the word but as opposed to and at the end of line 3?
Well, the only reason, and I don't think I feel strongly about it, the only reason is, and actually this suggests that maybe the first requiring is not the right verb, the only reason is that the business about requiring that at least half the members be of these different kinds of districts is a limitation on what the General Assembly can do. Whereas the letting the General Assembly set the number of each house is a new power that previously was set by the Constitution, that now they get to pick how many. So you could change allowing the General Assembly set the number of members of each house by law, but requiring, but I don't know, it's fine. Yeah, right. Change it to and. I mean, it's...
Yeah, and if you change it to allow, I mean, then that but seems to make a little bit more sense. If you want to just use requiring, then I think going with and, because it's kind of like, I mean, those two things that follow, but, well, what precedes it and follows don't seem contradictory.
Yeah, I think that, the only reason, as I said, I put it in there is that in the one sense you're giving a new power to the General Assembly, and in the other you're kind of taking away part of their general power, but...
Right, so if you use, but I would use allowing versus requiring up there. I see what you're saying.
Could we get rid of requiring that? I mean, and just put in allowing? Up there on line two? I don't know that we need the that either. Strike both of those words and put allowing in.
Yeah, and then if you did that, all you'd have to do, I think, is put a two, T-O, between assembly and B. Yeah, I think that's better.
Is there a motion?
I'll move that change.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Ms. Eubanks?
And I think this just goes to format. All the phrases that appear after in connection therewith in this staff draft end in commas. And I think it's usually our practice to have them end in semicolons. Is that in my recollection? I know in the last staff draft, we had semicolons between the phrases. So, I maybe it doesn't matter.
I mean, I guess for me, as a general proposition, if the clauses are, you know, are compound clauses, you know, with within them are series that use commas, then you kind of have to use semicolons to separate the clauses.
But if it's not, then we don't need
it. But if not, okay. I'm okay with... I mean, I prefer commas for a simple type. I don't know which way that cuts here, but...
Well, I definitely think if there's any commas in there that don't separate clauses, then we should use semicolons so the commas can be within clauses. But I was looking and I didn't see any. I think they're all separate.
That's fine. I noticed.
Yeah, I noticed that too, and I'd be okay either way.
Okay, this one.
I don't think anybody wants to go back to trying to fix the end.
Okay.
I don't think there was a motion on it ever. So.
No, I guess I would offer a motion then if we're not condensing any of the last part of the staff draft to insert the as may be achieved in the three places suggested by Mr. Straub.
I second that. I'm fine.
Have you said you second?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's no other discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Any other changes? Let's, for the record, I'd like to read what we've got into the record anyway, so that'll give us a chance to look at this one more time. The staff draft as amended so far would read, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning the alteration of the composition of the General Assembly, comma, and comma, in connection therewith, comma, allowing the number of members of each house of the General Assembly to be specified by law, but requiring that at least half of the members of each house be elected from single high seat districts and no more than half of the members of each house be elected from at hyphen large districts, comma, specifying that at least that less than 45% of the members of either house shall be affiliated with a political party, comma, requiring the first half of the single seat districts of each house to possess a significantly greater number of voters affiliated with the most popular political party in the state as may be achieved, comma, requiring the second half of the single seat districts of each house to possess a significantly greater number of voters affiliated with the second most popular political party in the state as may be achieved, comma, requiring each at-large district of each house to possess an equal number of voters affiliated with the first and second most popular political parties in the state as may be achieved, comma, specifying the geographical composition of General Assembly districts, comma, encouraging half of the members of the Senate elected in 2010 to resign, comma, and requiring the reapportionment of all General Assembly districts commencing with the 2012 election period. And of course, the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause that follows. I was inconsistent in reading hyphens, but I didn't bother to read them all. Further changes?
Anybody interested in my final effort to summarize those three provisions? I'm happy.
Sure. I'd like to hear about it.
All right. This is the best I can do, for sure. It would be to change those and say that requiring the districts to be restructured so that the two most popular political parties in the state would each have a majority, would each compose a majority of voters in one half of the single seat districts, and that each at large, and then the second one, I guess, that each at large district would possess an equal number of voters affiliated with the two most popular political parties, or as may be achieved, I guess we would have in there too. That was my best effort, which combines the first two, but the third one is kind of impossible, I think, to combine.
I think it's pretty good, but I don't. It doesn't cut out.
It probably cuts out 5 or 8 words and one clause. I mean, the only thing, really, all mine does is is combines the two clauses, the one that begins on line 7, requiring the first half, and then the one that begins on line 9, requiring the second half, which really sort of just say the same thing. That's mainly what my suggestion does, is kind of combines those two a little bit.
Going for that, Ms. Eubanks? Like I say,
I'm willing to give it a shot, or if we think that it doesn't save much, I'm fine with that too.
Well, all right, let's just try it so we can feel sleep well tonight that we gave it our best shot. So I guess my suggestion is on line 7, after requiring, I guess you could just say requiring that one half of the single, I think you could just replace first with one, Yeah,
requiring that one half.
I don't know, maybe you don't even need one. Probably don't need it at all. Half.
They requiring half of the single
seat? Yeah, requiring half of the single seat districts of each house. To possess a you could just say to possess a significantly greater number of voters affiliated with each of the two most most popular political parties. Although that's not quite, that's a little bit ambiguous. Yes. Yeah, I tried to redo my original language had the language about the parties coming first, and maybe we need to do that. I tried to leave it as unchanged as possible, but my suggestion was requiring that each of the two most political most popular political parties have significantly greater number of voters affiliated. I guess you could get rid of that. Significantly greater number of voters. Well, here's what I think it would say. Requiring that each of the two most popular political parties in the state, so you could just cut and paste that phrase that's now on line 8.
Starting with each.
Yeah, starting with each in the middle there, down to state on line 9. Put it on line 7 after requiring. And then, I think you would need a that after requiring and before each. And then after state, say, have a significantly greater number of voters in one, and then you could leave half of the single seat districts of each house. And then I think you could delete everything down on lines 9, 10, 11, and up through achieved on line 12. And then I think probably you could just put a, yeah. mean, now I've changed some of the terminology a little bit from first and second most popular to the two most popular. I think we should keep them consistent. Either change my language on line 7 from two most to first and second most, or change line 10 to say the two most. But
change on line 10.
One. All right, that's the best.
And I think we have to add on line 9 after house and before the comma the as may be achieved language.
Pretty good to me.
That's a little more straightforward and is accurate. A lot. Line maybe.
Any objection, Mr. Straub?
Kind of. Struggled with this as I was drafting this, because you are trying to make it concise, and I obviously went the other way with the Constitution, just stating and taking the long way around. And I almost kind of like it better the way before, but if you think it's clear, I'll defer to your judgment.
A little more concise.
Well, I'll move that change.
I'll second it.
And just for the record, I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but those two clauses have been condensed into one that would say then, requiring that each of the two most popular political parties in the state have a significantly greater number of voters in one half of the single seat districts of each house as may be achieved. Further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Is there a motion to adopt the staff draft as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That completes action on number 44. The time is 4:39 p.m. And that completes our agenda for the day. And we're adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.